God bless you, boys and girls. Thank you to our adult volunteers. You saw in your bulletin that is our Wednesday evening children's ministry. Let me invite you to take your Bibles this morning and find Revelation chapter 7 and verse 1. Revelation 7 and verse 1. I want to share with you a message entitled, "And So Who Can Stand?" And so who can stand, or who can survive the wrath and the judgment of God? If you were here last Sunday morning or joined us online, you heard Brother Ronnie faithfully preach through Revelation chapter 6, and you saw on the pages of Scripture, which will be six of seven demonstrations or manifestations of God's judgment on the earth. That's in Revelation chapter 6. Those judgments are revealed in seals, S-E-A-L-S, six seals, and the seventh seal will be opened, will be demonstrated, will be manifest in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1. But you have in between Revelation 6 and Revelation 8, Revelation 7. It is an interlude or a parenthesis or an interruption, answering this question in chapter 6, verse 17, "And who is able to stand?" And so this morning, we want to ask that question, and Revelation chapter 7 will answer that question. So who can stand? So who can survive the judgment and the wrath of God? Before we turn our attention to chapter 7 and verse 1, let me remind you that I believe that the Church of the Living God, the Universal Church, will be raptured between Revelation 3 and 4. All of the living followers of Christ, those who have been baptized by the Holy Spirit, will go and meet the Lord in the air. And then will begin a 7-year earthly tribulation. The book of Daniel in the Old Testament seems to indicate that period of time. And those 7 years actually even divided into 2 3.5-year periods. And I believe that 7-year tribulation is what John is describing in Revelation chapter 6. But Revelation 7 is, again, a parenthesis, an interlude, an interruption, something that is happening almost simultaneously with Revelation chapter 6. And so as you're thinking about that question, so who can stand, I invite you to stand this morning. In honor of the reading of God's word, following along, beginning in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 1. "After these things, John saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. And then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. And after these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." And so he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this interruption. Let us see it this morning in all of its glory and all of its splendor. And may we be able to confidently say, "I can stand in the judgment of God." We ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. John asks the question at the end of chapter 6, and so who can stand? After looking at the 7 years of tribulation and seeing 6 of the 7 seals open, these demonstrations and manifestations of God's wrath and God's judgment, well, who is able to stand? Who is able to survive the wrath and the judgment of God? John says, "I saw 4 angels standing at the 4 corners of the earth." And we can presume that he is thinking about north, south, east, and west, although we also can presume that he understands that the earth does not have 4 literal corners. And they're holding the 4 winds of the earth and so that the wind should not blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. And then the 5th angel emerges in verse 2, coming from the east. And we know that these are God's angels because verse 2 says that this 5th angel has the seal of the living
God.
And this fifth angel, he cried out to the other angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea. And so now, after we've seen the judgment of God and the wrath of God, here in verse 3, we see the mercy of God, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. I believe our text this morning gives us two answers as to who can stand. And the first is beginning in here in verse 3. The Jews saved in the tribulation on earth. The Jews saved in the tribulation on earth. God calls them in verse 3 the servants of God. They are serving God. They are loyal to God. And He will mark them with a seal on their forehead. Now, is this a visible seal that you and I can see? I don't know. The text is not clear. But it certainly is contrasted with the sign or the seal or the number of the beast that we will see later in the book of Revelation. And we know, in fact, that these servants of God are sealed because they are mentioned again in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written on their foreheads. And then in verse 4, John says, and I heard that the number of those who were sealed, and that number, 144,000 of all of the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Now keep in mind, brothers and sisters, that if you are following this train of thought that we have been following since the beginning of chapter 4, these Jews entered the tribulation period lost. They were not raptured. Simply because you are a Jew does not mean you are saved. No one is ever saved on his or her ethnicity or nationality or race. Only is someone saved who puts his or her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so these ethnic Jews entered the tribulation period because they were not saved, but in the tribulation period, they were saved. They recognized Jesus as the promised Messiah. And you say, well, Brother Richard, how were they saved? Wasn't the church raptured? Yes, the church will be raptured, but Bibles won't be raptured. Evangelism tracts won't be raptured. YouTube and Facebook and podcasts won't be raptured. So the communication of the gospel will continue. And in a miraculous turn of events, these Jews who had previously rejected Jesus as the promised Messiah will turn their hearts to Him and be sealed on their foreheads with the name of their heavenly Father. Now, Brother Richard, do you believe this will be a literal 144,000? I do. So, yes, I do believe 143,999 plus one. And coming from each, verses 5 through 8, of the 12 tribes of Israel that are listed. Now, in the Old Testament, there are no less than 20 lists of the tribes of Israel. And most of them are different. And that certainly is true of this one time that the tribes of Israel are listed here in the New Testament. And this list has many questions. And yet I can only share with you this morning one definite answer from the questions. If you know anything about the Old Testament, you can look at this list of the 12 tribes of Israel and you'll say, well, where is Dan? Not here. Why not? Well, many will speculate that it's because of Dan's idolatry. But no one can say for sure. If you know anything about these 12 tribes of Israel and the listing of them in the Old Testament, you will never find the tribe of Levi listed, but you find them listed here. Why? I don't know. And neither can anyone else say for sure. And why is Joseph listed and his son Manasseh, but not his son Ephraim? Great question. Maybe you can ask the Lord one day when you get to heaven. But the bottom line is that all of those questions can simply be answered with speculation. But there is one question that I can answer this morning in which I'm fairly confident in the answer. Why in this list is Judah first and not Reuben, the firstborn, who normally is? And that is because Jesus Christ is the Lion of Judah. And Judah is listed first. I believe that these 144 literal, what we would call today completed or messianic Jews, will not only be spiritually protected, but will be physically protected throughout the 7-year tribulation. Again, going back to Revelation chapter 14 and verse 1, they are still doing God's work at the end of the tribulation. Some have suggested and said, well, these are Jewish evangelists, perhaps. Again, the text isn't clear. It doesn't absolutely say that. But knowing what they will know and seeing what they will have seen, is that a safe conclusion? It's as good as any. That these Jewish brothers and sisters who put their faith and trust in Christ because Jesus is the only hope of salvation, they will be able to stand the judgment of God, the wrath of God in the tribulation. But in verse 9, John has another vision and sees another group. And I would suggest to you that not only will the Jews saved in the tribulation on earth be able to stand, but also the believers martyred in the tribulation in heaven will be able to stand. Verse 9, after these things I looked and behold a great multitude, an innumerable amount of people. They were multi-ethnic. multicultural, multilingual, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice. I said this in the previous Sundays. You better get ready for the volume. This adjective of loud is used many, many times in the book of Revelation. With a loud voice saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne. And if you'll remember from the previous Sundays, the elders, the 24 elders representing the raptured church, and the four living creatures representing all of God's creation, they joined with the angels and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen." Can I just remind you this morning what amen means? So be it. This is true. You can count on it. And it never means anything more than that. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And then one of the elders, in clarifying with John, who are these arrayed in white robes? And where do they come from? And John defers back to him. These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. That second 3.5 year period, the most intense Christian persecution that Christianity will ever know, and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, previously, these individuals, I believe, were under the throne, under the altar. But now they are around the throne. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And now in chapter 7, verse 15, they are before the throne of God, and they're serving him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. And the persecution and the suffering that they endured in their earthly lives, they will no longer experience in heaven. Verse 16, they shall neither hunger. They had to go without food. They shall thirst no more. They had to go without water. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. They won't be burned as they were previously. And for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. No more pain for these faithful brothers and sisters who will give their very lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Believers martyred in the tribulation and then in heaven. So, Brother Richard, what do we take away? What do we learn from Revelation chapter 7? What are some application points? First of all, God is in control of all things. If you go back and look at verses 1 through 3, who was the one ultimately controlling the wind? Was it the angels? No, it wasn't the angels. It was the God of the angels. He was the one who was in control. And I would suggest to you that God was in control of all that happened in 2020, and God is still in control of all that will happen in 2021. And I would say to you this morning that God 100% is always responsible for the good, and He is 100% always never responsible for the evil. Because that is who He is. That is His character. And some may say, Brother Richard, well, you're simply talking out of the both sides of your mouth. No, I'm simply affirming what the Bible says. God always is the author of good. And because He gives you and me the choice to worship Him, evil exists. He doesn't cause evil, but He allows evil because of the choice that He gives all of humanity to worship Him or not. But God is in control, brothers and sisters. Secondly, I would remind you and encourage you that heaven is real. Heaven is real, but it may be different than what you have in mind. It's not going to be all Baptist, and it's not going to be all American, and it's not going to be all white. This great multitude of all nations, tribes, and peoples, and tongues. These will be all of God's people from all over His creation, who will be taken to heaven because of their allegiance unto the Lord. But not only will heaven be different, but I would suggest to you this morning that heaven is going to be more than you can imagine. You can imagine in your mind what is your greatest fantasy. Maybe it's the catching of that 14-pound bass at Lake Fork. Maybe it is the shooting of that 14-point buck that has eluded everyone. Maybe it's your team winning the championship in 2021, or maybe it's you getting an all-expenses-paid vacation to the destination of your choosing to stay as long as you like without any financial obligation for you whatsoever. And yet, heaven will be more. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 17, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. Revelation says that heaven will be more than you or I can ever imagine. And then finally, I close with simply answering our question again. And so who can stand? Well, you can stand if you are a servant of God. Again, that's the terminology that's used in verse 3. You can stand if you recognize, according to verse 10, that Jesus is the only way to heaven. They were crying out that salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Salvation doesn't belong to benevolence. It doesn't belong to morality. It doesn't belong to ingenuity. It doesn't belong to your family tree. It belongs to Jesus. And so you can stand if you recognize that Jesus is the only way to the Father. And you can stand, verse 14, if you recognize that your robe is a filthy rag, and it is in desperate need of being washed and made white by the blood of the Lamb. This morning, if you have never put your faith and trust in Christ, you will not be able to stand. You will not be able to survive the judgment and the wrath of God. And my invitation for you today is to repent. To turn from your sin and from yourself and come to Jesus. He's offering you today the opportunity to know Him as Savior and Lord. In just a few minutes after I finish praying, I will be here standing at the front. And as Brother Chris comes to lead us in a very familiar song, and we're standing and singing all across the auditorium, if today you would put your faith and trust in Christ for the very first time, would you just simply step out in one of these aisles and would you make your way here to the front? I'd love to pray with you and celebrate with you and counsel with you. If you just simply need to come this morning and pray by yourself, you're invited to do that. If you would like for me to pray with you personally, I'd be honored to do that. If today you're responding to the preaching of God's Word by coming today for church membership, and you know that God is leading you and your family to unite formally with this church body, today we would invite you to come. Our invitation will be for you. But above all else, I hope that you make sure that you can answer the question of Revelation 6:17. And so who can stand? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, you join me as I pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you and praise you for this interruption. Thank you, Father, for this scene on earth and in heaven of your work in the lives of these 144,000 Jews. And thank you for your work and courage and boldness that you gave these martyrs who gave their life for the gospel. Father, I pray today that we will be able to say for all of those in the room this morning that I'm a servant of God. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And He has washed my filthy rags in the blood of the Lamb. And now I'm white as snow. Father, for those who can't answer that question this morning in that way, would you convict them of their lostness today and give them faith to believe and draw them unto yourself? Our invitation is for you, Lord. Be glorified and honored in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? I'm here at the front. Brother Ronnie is here at the front. You come today as God leads you to respond to His invitation.